Let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm sure many of you have read through Pilgrim's Progress. Great book written by John Bunyan that ministers to our souls as we contemplate the Christian's journey to heaven, to glory, to the celestial city. And there are a couple houses in Pilgrim's Progress that seem to be such a delight. One of those houses is Interpreter's House, where Christian enters and is taken by Interpreter to different rooms and to view different scenes, a painting of a king with a crown and a scepter and a sword. And the Interpreter draws out from that scene the rule of Jesus Christ, and Christian, the pilgrim, takes lesson from that and is strengthened, and they go from room to room. And another house that seems to be such a delightful place is the Palace Beautiful, where there are these four women, Prudence and Piety and Charity and Discretion. And you get the sense that when Christian is in these homes that he's strengthened and invigorated and given rest and given nutrients as he's taught different lessons from these different people in these homes. I think of the church a lot like that when I read through Pilgrim's Progress. I think this is what the body of Christ is like. This is what the Lord's Day is like. When we enter the house and we interact with other saints that are able to take our gaze and point it towards the Lord and teach us some new truth. This is exactly the type of positive vision for the church that we see in Colossians chapter 3. Last week, we discussed the truth that we are a scripture people. And this week, we're going to see the truth that we are a speaking people. People helping one another to behold Christ and his truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Same verse as last week. We'll meditate on a different portion. I'll read the verse in whole. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us to speak the word of Christ to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You think of all the treasure that we've received, and we contemplated that last week, didn't we? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And there are different types of people who enjoy good gifts. Some of them enjoy good gifts and then take it to themselves and just, they want to enjoy it by themselves in their own corner. And then there are others that want to share and say, this is so good. I want to give it to you. Come and taste and see the goodness of this gift. And what we see in this passage is the latter type of receiver, where we receive this good gift. The word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, and we're drinking deeply. And then we take that and we say, taste and see. I want you to enjoy Christ like I'm enjoying Christ. I beheld this in the word. Let me share it with you. And we're helping one another to enjoy the good gifts of the word of Christ. The main point of this sermon is speak the word of Christ to one another. Speak the word of Christ to one another. And we'll ask three questions. Who is to speak? What are we to do? And how are we to do it? Who, what, and how? Who? Who's to speak? Well, let's notice first off in this passage that this is not a command primarily to pastors. pastors teach and admonish the flock. That's certainly true. Pastors are called to teach, to admonish. But that's not what he's speaking about right now. He's speaking to the ordinary members of the church. He's speaking to Christians. Teach and admonish one another. The church is a community of believers, and if you're in the church, Christ has called you, Christian, to speak the word of Christ. If you're a Christian, male or female, you have a teaching ministry in the church. When you hear that, perhaps you think, what about James 3, where it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Here's a clear example of James saying, look, there should not be many teachers. And yet, Corey, you're telling us every Christian is being told to teach here. How do we reconcile these? When James says not many of you should be teachers, James is arguing that believers shouldn't be chomping at the bit to enter into a formally set apart ministry of teaching, something like pastoring. In short, many of you shouldn't become elders or teachers or pastors, because those that do will receive a stricter judgment. Judgment is stricter for such people. There's a distinction between those that are set apart formally by the church to teach and the teaching ministry of the membership. What he's talking about here in Colossians is members, church members, Christians speaking, not in formal settings, but in informal conversations. We see this type of thing in several places throughout Scripture. We'll look at one negative passage, and we'll look at one positive passage. The negative first. Hebrews 5:12. Feel free to hold your place here in Colossians and flip to Hebrews 5:12. The author of Hebrews says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, and note that he's writing to the Christian church, he's writing to Christians, you ought to be teachers by this time, although that's true, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. The author of Hebrews is rebuking the Christians for not being able to teach at this point. Now a positive passage, Romans 15:14. Paul says to the Roman church, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge, and able to instruct one another. What a blessing to a pastor or a missionary, or in this case, the Apostle Paul, to look out on a congregation or to be able to write to a church and say, I'm so satisfied about you that you're so full of goodness and filled with knowledge that you're able to instruct one another. It gives a leader joy to see members be able to instruct each other. Do pastors love teaching? I hope so. With fear, with trembling, but with joy. What a privilege to teach the glories of Christ. But you know what also gives pastors great joy? To see members mature and teach one another. So that a pastor might think, I need to share this with this brother or sister. And then to go and approach and to realize another saint has already begun to instruct on that issue. Members teaching one another. Our elders, the primary teachers, sure. But you have a responsibility as a Christian in the church to teach other believers. Our elders, the formal counselors in the church, yes, but you have a calling to grow in your ability to give wisdom to other believers in informal conversations in the church. believers are called to speak. You've heard me say this before, but it's important, and I'll say it again. You are your brother's keeper. We're asking who? Who is this for? Who's to do the speaking? You. You're your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. We're to be helping one another get to glory. I need you. You need me. You're responsible for the other believers in this church. So how can we take this question, who's to do the speaking? I'm to do the speaking. How can that hit home? How can that apply to us? Tell yourself, Saint, self, you're responsible for the souls of those in this church. You're called to speak. You've heard of the one another commandments, and there's several in Scripture. Love one another, pray for one another, bear with one another, greet one another, show hospitality toward one another, don't grumble against one another, encourage one another, stir one another up to good works. This passage in Colossians is another one of those one another passages. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. You have duties to other members. The one another commands are one of the strongest reasons why we should be a part of local churches, be members of local churches, because it helps us to identify who it is that we're accountable to and who it is we're to do these one another commands with. If you're a member in this church or if you're pursuing membership here, you have a ministry of speaking the word of Christ to other believers. And so I want to encourage you to open a couple things up. Open up your heart to other members of this church. Open up your heart to other members of this church. Coming and going is easy, but remembering, I have a ministry here, and I need to care for these other people. I'm going to open my heart toward them. That's going to be a good first step in entering into your teaching ministry here at the church. Open something else up, though. Open up your schedule, whether that's extending some more time after the service to talk with another believer, or opening up time for coffee in the morning, or opening up your home to have somebody over in an evening. If we have this ministry of speaking the word of Christ to one another, we need to have open hearts. We also need to have open schedules. Because as we come and go quickly, it leaves little opportunity for this type of ministry. But where we carve out time for other believers, there's ample opportunity to speak the word of Christ. Who is this command for? Members of the local church. What are these people to do? This is the second question. What? Two primary things. Teaching and admonishing. I'm saying speaking in general. We're speaking people. In particular, what type of speaking? Teaching and admonishing. Let's look at the first. Teaching from the word. Teaching one another. Teaching is instruction. Teaching is helping somebody to understand. A good teacher isn't so concerned about getting through his notes and saying everything that's on a line. But a good teacher wants the hearer, the person that they're teaching, to grasp and to understand what's being taught. And so as you're speaking the word of Christ, you're not just thinking, I need to say this truth and then I'm done. Whew, over. You're thinking, I want this person to see what I see. I want them to taste it. I want them to grasp it. And you're hitting it from different angles and explaining it and backtracking it and illustrating it to try to help people behold this wonderful truth. Teaching is instruction that helps people to understand. The tools that we use, the content of our teaching, what is it to be? The word of Christ. And that's what we talked about last week. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and overflow from that. You're teaching others. You're instructing others. Give to people the gospel. We hear it when we're saved, but it's the message that you and I need to continue to hear every single day. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in speaking the gospel. We need to be speaking the gospel to one another. Not just the gospel, but all the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another. Speak God's word to one another. Don't feel awkward going to the word and talking about it. Feel the liberty to speak from the word of God. As Christians, we're not biblicists. And you hear that and you might think, what are you talking about? We're Bible people. But what is biblicism? Biblicism is saying we only speak scripture. It's only scripture, no doctrine. And I want to push back a little bit and show some distinction and show that these two actually go hand in hand. Scripture all by itself, naked scripture, nuda scripture, would be to say, you just speak scripture. We want to speak scripture. But scripture needs to be explained. Scripture needs to be applied. And when we read scripture, it means something. And so we need to come to doctrinal conclusions. And you see Paul teach on this all the time. Doctrine that accords with scripture. And so we take the scripture, but when we read that in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God, somebody might approach that passage as they do and say, that means that the word is a different type of God than God. And so they're using other language to speak about that scripture. And you have to be able to say, no, that's not true. It means the Word is the Son. He is very God of very God. He's equal with God. Now, when you make a statement like that, you're stating a conclusion, a teaching conclusion from Scripture. And as Christians, we want to be speaking the Word of God, but we want to come to conclusions about what the Word of God says, which means that we need to explain things in other words in addition to Scripture. So we're a Scripture people, and being a Scripture people that are guarding truth necessitates us to be a doctrinal people as well. And so we teach the Scriptures, which also includes doctrinal conclusions. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another. What's been worked into ourselves now needs to be worked out of ourselves in our conversations. When we were preparing to move overseas several years ago, one of a man that was something of a mentor said, Corey, look at your hands when you're going to India. You get there and you look at the people's hands and you look in their hands and ask, what do they have in their hands? And then you look at your hands and you ask, what do I have in my hands that they don't have in their hands? And that's what I'm going to focus on giving them and emphasizing, because that's what they need. Look at your hands. Look at the hands of your brothers and sisters in this church and think, what do they not have from the Word of God that I do have in the Word of God, and let me encourage them in those things. We all have certain gifts. We all have certain journeys that the Lord has taken us on. We all are different members and parts of the body. We all contribute something slightly different. And so ask, Lord, what can I contribute to these saints and help them to grow in? This is exactly what Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. Let me read this passage. in Acts 18. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. It's interesting, isn't it? He taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, and then they pull him aside privately and talk to him and shared how he could understand some things more accurately, probably regarding the baptism of Christ. He had something, they had something that was clearer regarding the mystery of Christ, and they helped him to understand it more accurately. Notice that they came to him, they pulled him aside, and they talked with him. This is something that we can do with one another in the church. Christ has done something in your heart, if you're a Christian. You have the word of Christ. You're called to teach one another, to tell others of what Christ has done in you. Perhaps you see a younger parent, and maybe you've been a parent for decades or a few years. Maybe you have something to share with those who are still trying to figure things out. I remember at the church that we were at in Florida, Grace Bible, there was a member who was struggling with financial things in his life and budgeting and ordering things. And there's another believer who was very gifted in that and had good biblical principles. And as pastors encourage them, hey, why don't you talk with this person and get wisdom from them on how to honor God in your finances? And as pastors, we were able to connect believers, and they were ministering to one another, giving and receiving and building one another up and sharing biblical truth on how to honor God in their finances. There are a multitude of ways where we should and can build one another up in the church. Is it the role of a pastor to do this type of ministry? Absolutely. But it's also the role of a pastor to equip the saints to do this type of ministry. And you have a ministry in the church to teach one another. This is one of the blessings of having older saints in the congregation as well. Something we've prayed for and continue to pray for. To have many years and to be able to take decades of walking with Christ and to share it with younger, newer believers, take liberty to teach other believers the word of Christ. Even those that have walked with Christ less, 15 years, 5 years, a couple years, even less than a year, Christians have something to offer. Yes, there's a time to learn. Yes, there's a time to receive. But it's also good to begin to contribute early on and form those habits and muscles. Teaching one another, it doesn't mean scheduling a class for people to show up. It doesn't mean having to put together a curriculum. It simply means work the word of Christ into you and then speak it to one another. That's it. Very simple. If somebody already knows it, tell them again. If I already know it, tell me again. I need it again and again and again. I'll never grow out of my need. You'll never grow out of your need to be reminded of truth. You are called to speak. You're called to teach. Not just teaching, but admonishing one another. What's the difference between teaching and admonishing? Teaching is positive instruction imparting wisdom to the mind, even to the heart. Admonition is the idea of warning. Warning. Admonition is a warning to avoid or stop a wrong course of action. You're teaching a child when you explain how a bicycle works, and you explain the wheels and the training wheels and the pedals and the handlebars. You're admonishing the child when you say, make sure you wear your helmet. Don't go into the street. You're teaching a saint when you say, Jesus promised to bring all of his children to heaven. You're admonishing a saint when you say, you must kill sin or sin will be killing you. This is a more negative aspect, not negative and bad, but negative in that it's warning. And this is by design. Because, brothers and sisters, we still live in a fallen world. We're not to glory yet. You and I still fight a sinful flesh and a devil and a world. And we need warnings to keep us on track. Your arrival in glory depends upon God working through the warnings of other Christians in your church. You need warnings from other Christians, and you need to give warnings to other Christians. We've already looked at Hebrews 3. We want to look at the same verse, but a couple other verses before and after. Hebrews 3, verse 12. The author says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. We're not there yet, saint. You haven't reached heaven yet. And we should beware lest there be in any of you an evil and an unbelieving heart. And as long as it's called today, as long as there's still time, as long as your heart is still beating and you have breath in your lungs, exhort one another, admonish one another, warn one another to not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Let me take opportunity right now to do just that. Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. Don't leave any room for sin in your life. Slay it, put it to death. And to warn in the context of our focus words today, let me warn you, don't grow comfortable and hold back positive instruction and admonitions from other believers. You're commanded in this passage to teach and to admonish. Step into that, brother and sister. Take up that responsibility. Teach and admonish. You know, welcome this from one another. Proverbs 27 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. When a brother or sister comes with instruction or with an admonition, say, you're a faithful friend. You're a good friend that you've wounded me. I need this. I thank God for the men in my life who have rebuked me. I've not always responded right, but at times God has helped me to receive it well. And what a good gift when, think of Brian, old pastor in San Diego, saying, no, Corey, you're being foolish. You've taken this too far. Quit it. A hard, firm word is exactly what I needed, and I thank God for it. Ask God to give you faithful friends. Say, God, don't give me friends that butter me up. Give me friends that speak the truth in love. Give me good friends, faithful friends. A few points of application before we ask the how. One is, you must grow in the word. If you're to teach and to admonish, the reason why the author of Hebrews was complaining or bemoaning the fact that they weren't teachers, because they didn't know the word. They still needed to receive it again afresh. Listen to what he says. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. If you're weak in the word, you're not able to teach or admonish others. So what's a good first step? Grow in the word of Christ. We've already mentioned opening your heart, opening your schedule. Cultivate relationships with other believers. Invest in their lives. It's hard to instruct, or maybe even might say it's unwise to instruct, not having invested in their lives or shown care and concern for somebody. Cultivate a relationship with other believers so that there's a relationship to build upon and to instruct in. On the receiving end, if there's a command to admonish and teach one another, that means that we need to receive teaching and admonishment from one another. Lower your wall. Don't be a defensive person. If you snap at people or get easily offended, you're cutting yourself off from one of the rich blessings that God has for you. You need to be approachable, teachable. The psalmist said, "Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it." Pray that. God, let my head not refuse a rebuke. Let me receive it. Be approachable. Receive instruction well. Who? The community of believers. What? Teaching and admonishing with the word. And so maybe some of us are pumped up and ready to rebuke. Who do I need to tell what they need to do? I'm ready. Let's slow down and heed one more important piece of the puzzle. How are we to speak? He says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. In all wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom in speaking. Be slow to speak. Be sure that you're speaking with wisdom. The Proverbs have so much to say about speaking, good speaking and bad speaking, don't they? Let me list a few things. The Proverbs say, Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. It's like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Before you speak, remember that, yes, life is in the tongue. Yes, you build up others by speaking the truth in love, but you also can kill with the tongue. And so we need wisdom from God in how we speak to one another. Spurgeon says, admonition is a very difficult thing to administer wisely. I have known a brother try to admonish another, and I have felt that he would have done better if he had left the task alone. for he has only caused irritation and resentment. But there is a gracious way of admonishing which cannot be too frequently practiced. God, give us that gracious way of admonishing. Some need to teach more. Some are too silent. You don't speak enough to others of the word of Christ. Others need to teach less. They're always speaking, but at the wrong times or in the wrong way. Some fail to speak up when they should. Others fail to stay silent when they should. Wisdom is needed in our speaking. Consider the varied dynamics of speaking wisely. Age needs to be considered. 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Genders to be considered. Older women are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. The goal is to be kept in mind when we speak. There's one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The goal is healing. Thoughtfulness is to be considered. The heart of the righteous person ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. A pondering, how should I speak? The manner should be considered. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The spirit of your own heart needs to be considered. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The list could go on. And in fact, a good exercise would be to work through verses on speech and speaking to one another, godly examples and ungodly examples, good positive principles and warning principles on speech, and work through those proverbs, memorize 10 or 15 verses on speech. It'd be a wonderful exercise. What's clear is this: we need wisdom to speak. You and I need wisdom in our teaching and our admonishing. And this is why we must ask God for wisdom. He tells us to do that in James. How do we teach and admonish in a wise way? We fetch help from heaven. Consider this messianic word from Isaiah, speaking about Christ, but it drives a point home on where we learn to speak wisely. The Lord, this is Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. What a gift. God's given me the tongue of those who are taught, an instructed tongue, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. What a good use of the tongue. He gave me the tongue of one who is taught. Why? So that I could sustain with a word, a perfectly chosen word, sustain with a word him who is weary. I see him cast down, struggling, dragging his feet. I come along and drop a word, and he's sustained and receives life and strength. Here's the question: where does he get that word? Where does he get this wise word? Morning by morning, he awakens me. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The place that you gain wisdom is through morning by morning rising to hear from God in his word and in prayer. And as you morning by morning fetch wisdom and help from heaven, he imparts wisdom to you that you may have a tongue as those who are taught, and you sustain with the word him who is weary. A few guiding questions or filtering questions to ask as you're thinking, should I share with this person? And let me say this, teaching positive instruction, we should just always be at liberty to share good and godly edifying truths. When it comes to admonishing, a closely applied warning to somebody, there's particular wisdom and care that's needed in such cases. And so here are some practical questions to ask before opening your mouth. Is my motive to build up or to tear down? You know what I'm talking about. You're ready to give that word. You're ready. They need it and they need it now, and you're excited about it. Ask yourself, am I speaking to build them up, or do I just want to tear them down, give them some pain? Is my motive to heal or to wound? Here's another question. Am I operating from a posture of pride or humility? I see this brother or sister. I think they would benefit from this admonition, this warning to stay away from a course or to cease being on a sinful course. Is my heart posture one of pride or humility right now? If it's pride, wait. Deal with your heart and then go back and ask these questions again. Another question. Are these words rash or have I pondered how to speak? Have I thought through this? Am I just shooting from the hip or have I thought about this? Another question. Have I prayed for this person? Prayer for somebody you're going to admonish has a way of clearing things up even in your own mind and the wisdom of admonishing. Another question. Am I the right person to say this? Maybe it would be better come from this sister or somebody else who's closer to the situation or their husband. There may be many situations where maybe you're not the right person. But lest we run away from every situation, the Lord has put you in this body for a reason. And if you see something that would be profitable and helpful, and it's coming from a right heart with a desire for their good and not from a heart of pride, and there's no reason for you not to, share with them. Ask, do I love this person? Does this person know that I love them? I've benefited from, I think I heard it from Mark Dever, and certainly others have said similar things, but make sure that you've deposited capital before you withdraw. Withdrawing, admonitions and warnings and corrections are like withdrawing. And if you've not invested in that relationship, in that person, it's very hard to receive and to withdraw on an account that you've not put anything into. And so invest in other people's lives. Ask, have I blessed this person, encouraged this person, served this person? If not, this admonition may not be received well. And so let me love them well first in another way. A couple more questions. Is this the best setting for this comment? My heart's right. It would be good for them to hear this, but is this the best setting? Maybe they're in the middle of something right now and 10 minutes later would be better, or an afternoon later, or 2 days later. Or maybe there are others around that don't need to be in this conversation. Let me wait till a different setting. Well, these are some guiding questions. Be in the Word of God. Spend time with Him in the Word. Fetch help from heaven and wisdom. And as you speak the Word of God through teaching and admonishing, make sure it's done with wisdom. Last question, bonus question, why? Why should we speak the word of Christ to one another? We would be much more mature. We will be much more mature as a body if our members are speaking the truth in love to one another. This is the way that we grow. Yes, through the preaching of the word, but through the one-on-one ministry of members to one another as well. Get close with one another. Let your hearts be near each other. Open your schedules and have the freedom to speak the truth and love to one another through positive instruction and through admonition. Another reason why we should do this is how we're going to be kept. You know, you think of the war stories, the good ones that we love. A band of brothers that do not leave the other soldiers behind. We're going back in there. We're going to get them. They're coming home with us. We're not moving on without them. And having that mentality toward one another's, we can't leave our people behind. This is how we're going to be kept on our path to glory. I've learned from so many godly saints over the years. I think of a godly couple who, going through great suffering, invited over to our house, around a table, us wanting to encourage them, but them encouraging us in their grief and instructing our hearts and our souls so that we were built up. I remember preaching in Tampa, somewhat discouraged at people being hardened to the preaching, and good brother Tom Lily coming up and leaning over when with tears in his eyes saying, "Corey, God is being glorified in this right now. Keep preaching, brother. Keep preaching, brother." And I was strengthened by Tom's words. And this same man instructing my soul as he goes and fetches his grandmother to care for her in her old age after his grandfather passed away, and being instructed by this good brother to care for our aging family members. Think of Aaron Stein, who was a stabilizing force to me as an emotionally unstable teenager, giving me firm, godly counsel on how to walk through difficult decisions. Think of David in Alabama, who gently reproved me 15 years ago when I was working on my business on the Lord's Day. And he said, "You know, Corey, I've never found my work to be blessed when I work on the Lord's Day." That instructed my heart. Think of Adam in Louisville, who had multiple organs failing, not able to digest food or medicine, in constant chronic pain, bone density decreasing, easily fractured, fragile, and said, "I still believe in the goodness of God. I still show up to church. I still need the faithfulness of God, and I still see the faithfulness of God." And through Adam's instruction, through suffering, his perseverance, and his faith, my soul was built up and strengthened. None of these brothers or sisters were pastors. None of these brothers or sisters took me through a book. They simply spoke the word of Christ to me and applied it to my situation, and I was strengthened. Brothers and sisters, speak up. Speak to one another in love and with wisdom. This is the way that God is going to build this church. We must be a speaking people. Father, we ask that you would help us to abound in this grace. May we be more and more so a speaking people and wise in all of our speaking. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.